Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Ernie DiGregorio, Derek Dickey, Joey Devine, Bird Everett, Harvey Ketchy, Sean King, Caldwell Jones, Kermit Washington, Patreons, Jackson Murphy, thank you Jackson, Mark Langford, thank you Mark, Tyler Fortney, thank you Tyler, musical guest, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, my co-host, from Golden State of Mind, from stand-up comedy, from, do you have a title for an album that you have coming out yet?
No, I haven't.
No, from an upcoming untitled comedy album.
Why haven't
album.
I picked it?
It's that voice you're hearing is, of course, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm also writing at a Giants Baseball Insider right now.
Wow. It's one thing that's happening. I didn't realize I was talking to an insider.
Tons of baseball news right now. No, there really isn't.
Aren't the Rays trading like their entire team, but no one knows who they're trading yet?
Yeah, they have like 50 guys that need to be on their 40-man roster.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that on a different podcast, because This one is about the NBA.
By the way, Ausdubral Cabrera and Yoenis Cespedes have officially retired from baseball.
Good for them. Sean, wild weekend of games. But before we talk about actual basketball, let's take some reader mail, shall we?
Sure, yeah. I love it.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it reader mail? It is confusing for robots.
Our friend Alpha Half Narrow wrote and asked, which Hornets player can and can't find this jersey? And he sent a picture of the Hornets City Edition jersey, which has a big, unfortunate abbreviation of the city of Charlotte, I would say. It says CLT on the front of their jersey, Sean.
Mm-hmm. At first, I thought they had critical race theory jerseys, and I was like, Ted Cruz is not going to be happy about that.
Oh, man, Sean, you said his name.
Sorrow, I did. Okay.
Uncle Drew's being benched.
So Sean
says CLT.
Which Charlotte Hornets can find the clit?
I think definitely LaMelo Ball can.
Gordon Hayward can't.
No, he doesn't believe it exists. Actually, his religion tells him. You know what he does when it's, he files a missing persons report with the local police department. They're like, yeah, we know where it is. We got it. Theo Maledon 100% can. He is French. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think Kelly Oubre Jr.
He can.
Yeah, I think so too. JT Thor. It just doesn't matter with him. He's. and then Terry Rozier is actually scared of it, so he can find it, but you know, he doesn't want to.
Mm-hmm. What about Michael Jordan, Sean?
You know, he can, but he chooses
not to, indifferent. Right?
You know what I mean? Like he picks his spots, is what I'm saying.
All right, Jonathan. From the worst place on earth at Work the Cycle asks, and did Michael Jordan find out about this jersey on Twitter like the rest of us, or did he sign off on it?
I think he found out about it. I don't even think he found out about it on Twitter, because I don't think that's where Michael Jordan
goes. Yeah, no, I don't
Jordan
think he has
goes.
Twitter. No.
I think like Rod Higgins had to verbally tell him. That's what I'm guessing.
Speaking of the Charlotte basketball team owned by Michael Jordan, I'm going to plug John Boyce's new YouTube video, which is a 2.5-hour documentary about the Charlotte Bobcats team that won 7 games.
2.5 hours?
Yeah. I watched the whole thing. It's called The People You Pay to Be in Shorts. It's great. You can Good watch title. It on YouTube. I don't know why I'm doing that. All right.
What's your favorite John Boyce documentary, Joey, of those?
I mean, the UFC one is really, really good.
I like the Mariners one.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite episode is the one where he talks about all of it's like only 20 minutes long, and he talks about all the people that the worst thing that could happen to you as a fictional character is to be friends with Jack Bauer. And he goes over. Through the course of every anyway though I'm all right Jonathan also asked Sean took this screenshot from the Stephen Curry FTX ad. My question is, and listeners, I promise all of these are not gonna involve me describing photos. My question is, why don't any of these numbers make sense? And it's a screenshot of Steph Curry's phone in the FTX ad. Where it says he has $43,241.22 in Bitcoin. And Jonathan asks, and do you think Curry has more or less Bitcoin in real life right now?
I mean, he might have, I think more. I mean, I don't know what the value is now. I'm going to jump ahead and talk about this here, Joey, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah, you go ahead.
So, as you know, maybe if you've been following the news, FTX, the cryptocurrency exchange, filed for bankruptcy on
crypto
Friday.
Has its first Madoff. Is that what happened? I haven't really been following this that much, even though I've been forced to talk about it on now two podcasts.
I'm sorry. So it's a crypto exchange. Basically, they're located in the Bahamas. They have an investment firm that's like connected to them. They're like literally next door to each other, and this investment firm basically had all this money in coins backed by FTX.
Yeah.
And so both of their values were incredibly fraudulent.
Well, yeah, it came out, right, that FTX, like, something like 80% of their, like, worth was in a coin that they had put out. Like, that's where all the wealth had come from, was, like, in a coin that they printed, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was just incredibly fraudulent. Yeah. And the woman who was the director of the financial group, not the currency exchange, mm-hmm. Like, all the employees just lived together in a 10-person polyamory house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, that's cool. also, so FTX recently made, I think, a 17-year deal to rename the Miami Heat's arena.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I believe they're now taking that sign down.
They took it down already, I believe, actually. Yeah.
FTX also paid Steph Curry in equity. Mm-hmm. And they paid Tom Brady, David Ortiz, Gisele Bündchen. Apparently Brady and Bündchen, I like that I'm calling her Bündchen and not Giselle. But anyway, they apparently moved, like, more money that they didn't get paid for them into there. Mm-hmm. And Shaq also had a piece of this. And the Golden State Warriors, of course, FTX was the official partner of their official crypto nonsense partner. Mm-hmm. And they're the Jersey Pets sponsor for the Philadelphia 76ers, mm-hmm. so not very well. Also, crypto.com.
Yeah, great. Love it.
Which has been laying off people all the time, has a 20-year, $700 million arena naming deal for what used to be the Staples Center. Here's something fun, Joey. Somebody audited what crypto.com's coin reserves, and 20% of them are in the meme token SHIB, S-H-I-B, which is basically just named after a picture of a Shiba Inu.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that dog name right?
Yeah, yeah, that's correct, I think.
So, yeah, 20% are in a joke coin. It's mm-hmm. a meme-y mm-hmm. digital asset. It's actually, if Dogecoin was less legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, because yeah, yes. At least Dogecoin is backed by Elon Musk?
No, he loves...
I know, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Because that's legitimate.
It's weird that it's like the less legitimate one. And apparently I Googled it for this segment and someone explained that it is mostly used for lols with a Z. Mm-hmm. So that's good stuff. That probably won't affect the Lakers finances, right? Someone else will be able to jump in and hand them $700 million, right? Oh, yeah. Don't expect the Lakers to pay the luxury tax next year is what I'm saying. And also, Coinbase, which is the NBA's bullshit money partner, also laying off like 40 to 50% mm-hmm. of their staff. They're trying not to tell. So everything that Steph Curry dressed up like a mime to tell us is a fraud.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And great. It's all coming crashing
perfect.
Down.
Perfect. Yep.
Great job, NBA. So, yeah, the reason none of those numbers make sense, Jonathan, is that none of those numbers ever mm-hmm. made sense.
So FTX, Sean, they bought the naming rights to the esports organization TSM, you know, like doing all of these things.
Oh, yeah. They spent like $400 million on sports endorsements.
Yeah, but so like TSM was literally got renamed TSM FTX.
Oh, God.
And I was watching, I saw a clip of this guy playing Apex Legends, and he's just like a guy, you know what I mean? And his entire chat was like yelling at him about how he like, how could he support like a fraudulent, and he was like, I'm just a guy who plays a video game. I don't have any control over this.
TSM had a deal with... Do you know how much this TSM deal was worth?
No.
It was a 10-year naming rights deal for $210 million.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the TSM League of Legends team. What does TSM even stand for? No one will tell you.
Okay, it stands for Team Solo Mid. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, but I do know what it stands for.
Team Solo Mid. Okay, well, they'll be back to their old name of Team Solo Mid. By the way, one thing that's really funny is that a lot of these people that were sponsored or partners with FTX, like Wednesday and Thursday, mm-hmm. issued statements of support where they're like, everything's fine. This isn't a big deal. And then like by like 10 a.m. on Friday, they were like, everything's bankrupt.
Well, didn't at one point FTX like send its users like a message like, hey, we've been hacked really, really bad. Log into your wallets.
Because they basically had a Mary Poppins style run on the bank last Friday. So that would have been I don't know what date, like November 4th, I guess that would have mm-hmm. been. Anyway, they had like a $5 billion run on the bank just because basically like people looked at the financials of the investment firm and were like, I kind of think none of this money's real. And then people were like, I really am going to cash out my crypto. And FTX was like, funny story, we don't have any money. This is worthless now. And yeah, they spent like a week trying to sell, first like denying everything. And then they had agreed to sell basically to their rival, a different exchange. And then the exchange got a look at their books and was like, no, we're just going to let you become bankrupt. So,
well,
great stuff. Great stuff. Also, I mean,
I hope the poly relationships don't break up.
Not going to fall apart. I am just hoping that, the other thing that's great, Joey, is, for the last 6 months at FTX, Michael Lewis has been hanging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's writing a book.
Here's the thing. Don't have that guy hang out and write a book about you.
Here's the question, Sean. Do the Moneyball A's win win the World Series that year if Michael Lewis isn't there to make sure that that book had a heartbreaking ending?
Yeah, no. I mean, like, he should have been... You know, what would have been nice is if instead of being embedded with the Oakland A's, he was embedded with like the Defense Department. And then they would have not even had it together enough to invade Iraq in the first place. Weirdly, Joey, he has not written a word, but the film rights are being auctioned off this week. So congratulations to Michael Lewis.
Well, the other funny thing is congratulations to the Democratic Party, because this guy, the FTX guy, they literally were calling him the leftist Koch brother.
Yeah.
Because of all the money he was spending based on math.
Yeah.
he was like, I know how much money to spend on what charity's using a mathematical equation, because I'm a huge weirdo.
A weird sex creep. Also a sex creep. I mean, look, maybe these were consensual polyamorous relationships, but Joey, don't you think the odds are extremely high that he was a sex creep?
I mean, he probably...
Allegedly. Yeah, yeah. And we're just using a mathematical algorithm to protect, to project the likelihood. This is not a real... talk. We're just using math right now. Can't wait to see Jesse Eisenberg's performance as this weird guy with curly hair. Get your Emmy ballots out now. Okay.
All right, and now an NBA-based question. Oh, also, to answer your question, Jonathan, I think Curry had more than $43,000 in Bitcoin, but now has less than $43,000 in Bitcoin because it's down to $16 or whatever. All right, our question, our friend Lou asks, would you rather, you're an NBA point guard no matter what, but you have to choose either the on-court brain of Russell Westbrook or the off-court brain of Kyrie Irving, both in the dog shit year of our Lord 2022. This is a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, it's Russell Westbrook.
It's Russell Westbrook.
Also, his on-court brain is at least cool.
Yeah.
Like, in a way...
Oh, I get to dunk and then rock an imaginary baby? Yeah, give me that, dude.
But also, oh, I'm just filled with overwhelming confidence all the time, yeah. No matter what the outcomes are. And occasionally someone makes a pun about my name and yells it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I can deal with that.
Also, they literally gave me an MVP chant a few days ago.
Which... Yeah, man, like I know it's not productive, but it's the same way that driving a Lamborghini is not an efficient way to drive, and it breaks down all the time and it burns oil and gas really fast. But when you're behind the wheel, you're not thinking about that, you know?
But also, Russell Westbrook is still a good NBA player. It's not his fault. He's on a team that makes no sense to have him.
Well, he's just in a stage where he should be winning the MVP of the play-in round every year. Mm-hmm. That's what his home should be, is putting up 35 points against the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
In the 9-10.
Or for the Charlotte Hornets.
Or for the Charlotte Hornets, sure. But that's the zone he needs to be in. Like I have a feeling that the Kings have their own Russell Westbrook Jr. in De'Aaron Fox, and I think he's going to lead the Kings to that 10 seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make some noise. Hey, look, Sabonis has already won a 9-10 game, so he's been there before.
Why are you dunking on the Kings right now?
I don't know. I'm dunking on the Kings, but also I really want the Kings to make the play-in or the playoffs. I'm not that would be the greatest success they've had in 15 years, Joey. That's all I'm saying. They're a pretty fun team. Anyway, that reminds me of Westbrook energy is what I mean.
Sure.
Yeah, like a team that is just lighting it up, sort of can't play defense very well, but it's very good energy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know? By the way, Joey, Bitcoin, since the release of that commercial,
mm-hmm.
is down 45.08%.
Oh, great. That's very cool. So,
Steph Curry, dressing like a mime.
Well, you brought up... NBA vibes. Let's do some news, and then you want to talk about some vibes, right? So let's go. Let's go to the news first, though.
Okay.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our top story?
I'm going to say that it's Joel Embiid's heroic performance last night. We're recording this on Monday. Joel put up 59 points. That's a career high. He had 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and 7 blocks. Mm-hmm. Very close to only the 5th quadruple-double in NBA history. He also blocked 5 shots in the 4th quarter. So the guy who was getting kind of tired early in the season had a chase down block in his.
Well, yeah. And then the game before, didn't he put up
I think he had 46
or something like that, or 42. He scored 101 points in 2 games or something like that. Which is hilarious because 2 games before these 2 games, they were really going to fire Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he did. They were well, the Sixers before this stretch were 5-7, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, they were 5-7, and they had lost to Atlanta. basically they'd lost to the Knicks and the Wizards in consecutive games, somehow beat the Phoenix Suns, and then they were floundering. I would say floundering would be a good description of how things went.
And, well, then didn't they have that game where they lost to the Hawks? Didn't he like not even put his starters back in until like the 2 minute mark or something?
It was a strange game. It was like he was like really sending a message. They what happened was the starters they kept calling timeouts in the fourth quarter. He called like two timeouts in less than a minute, and then he pulled his starters with less than 5 minutes, and then
he pulled the starters
and then the backups almost tied it. They cut it to 7, and then Atlanta had to put their starters back in at the end. I don't actually think the Hawks brought their starters back in at the end. The Sixers. It was a team looking for answers, and that answer is apparently Joel Embiid scores all the points.
Well, I have sort of a theory on this.
Okay.
We all know that Joel Embiid is a clutch performer, right? Yeah. And you know what he's amazing at in the clutch? Deflecting the problems that are some of his fault onto other people. And if Doc Rivers got fired, there was one person that they were going to start looking at as to why they can't make it to the East, back to the NBA Finals. And that person's name was Joel Embiid.
By the way, he did exceed Ben Simmons's season total for points in that one game. So hilarious. Congratulations to Joel Embiid. Simmons is no longer in danger of committing more fouls than he has points, though. He's comfortably ahead. And also, you can only get 6 in a game. So he'll never
points? He can only get 6 points in a game?
Well, I mean, I don't think he's averaging 6 points in a game, actually.
So, Sean, that leads us to our next story, which is the Knicks gave up 145 points, which is the most a Tom Thibodeau team has ever given up.
Congratulations to Tibbs.
Is Tom Thibodeau going to get fired?
You know, I thought he was pretty safe, but so here are two factors. So the Knicks are about to, the Knicks are like ninth place. You know, they were like a perfectly average. 3 games ago, they had like the same number of points scored and given up. And they're still in ninth place, but they're about to go on the road, Joey, and their road trip involves they're going to Utah, Denver, Golden State, Phoenix, and Oklahoma City. So 3 of those teams are 3 of the top 4 teams in the West. Congratulations to the first place Portland Trailblazers. You're very good this year. I was wrong. Getting that out there. One of those teams is the defending champs, and one of those teams just scored 145 points on them in New York. So this 6-7 Knicks record could start looking really bad really fast. And then they come home and play Portland and Memphis. Like, legitimately, they could lose the next 7 games, Joey.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like that would be that big a shock, because it's like a back-to-back in Utah and Denver. They got to play if they're playing the Warriors in New York, the Warriors are incapable of winning outside of the fervent,
they atmosphere. They don't seem that capable of winning in Chase Center either, though.
Well, I mean, their record in the Chase Center is, aren't they like 0-7 on the road?
They are 0-7 on the road. Yes.
So I'm saying they need that energy, that white wine energy to fuel them. And then, anyway, they could lose 7 games in a row. Like, it would not be that ridiculous, I don't think.
But don't you think Daryl Morey just really wants to fire Doc Rivers, and just because Joel Embiid scored a lot of points in these 2 games doesn't mean he's not going to fire him?
I think he's not going to fire him till Harden's back, though.
Fair.
I feel like that's the build. Like, Harden getting hurt, these things that aren't really related to Doc Rivers keep saving his job. It's like James Harden's foot, and then Embiid got sick, and now Embiid's playing like a hero. It's like enough factors are going to keep the Sixers at like the 6th seed, and he won't get fired until January. That's my thought. He'll have his job for 7 more weeks. But the other thing that made me think Tibbs was on the hot seat is that so James Dolan, of course, has like a security detail outside his suite at Madison Square Garden because he's a paranoid creep. But also, there's going to be a Knicks fan who gets frustrated enough and is like, I just need to take him out. Like, this has to end. Like I'm doing it for the city. Security was outside James Dolan's suite for like 45 minutes after the end of the game, which to me says that Dolan was in there just like yelling and seething and being mad. Like, why else would he be there that late?
Maybe he was writing a tune, dude.
Something gross. I don't know.
He might have been writing a ditty.
Damning. Okay, so some kind of disastrous outcome is going to happen for Tom Thibodeau. Either he's going to get fired after this road trip, or he's going to have to listen to a new JD and the Straight Shot song. So it's a rough sledding ahead for Tibbs.
Because bees can give you honey, but honey, they can sting you too.
That's what I'd tell Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Bees can give you honey, but honey, they can sting you too.
They can sting you too.
My favorite JD and the Straight Shot song. All right. Sean, you want to talk about Zion?
Yeah. So he lost a bunch of weight, Joey, and he did it via lies. Mm-hmm. So first of all, he was drinking a lot of soda at every meal. And you know what? You know what I did when I was Zion's age? I drank a lot of soda at every meal. Yeah, I didn't really understand what I was doing.
I mean, I still kind of do, honestly.
I mean, it's too much. Yeah, like I'm a paragon of healthy eating. These young guys. That's also my theory about the Golden State Warriors. Like, oh, you're really trusting 21-year-olds a lot, as if you do not remember what you yourself were like as a 21-year-old. Anyway, the thing that really helped Zion was that Zion's personal chef, who he hired, started making him very vegetable-heavy dishes. Mm-hmm. And the first time he made one that Zion really liked, Zion asked what was in it. And when he described all the vegetables were in it, Zion just started making a terrible face and cringing, and then told him, keep making it, just stop telling me what's in it. So I respect that he ate a lot of vegetables, but still fundamentally hates vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but also, like, maybe grow up a little bit and like some vegetables.
Yeah, vegetables are good, guys. That's the official position of Round Rock. At Round Rock Pod for your vegetables.
Oh, I didn't even do any of that business stuff. RoundRockPod@gmail.com is our email. @RoundRockPod is our Twitter. Patreon.com/RoundRockPod. T-shirts in the link in the description. Phone number in the link in the description. Thank you, Zion. Sean, what'd you think about that part where Zion was really sad about people body shaming him all the time, though? Kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, that was sad. I was like, oh, yeah, this is me. By the way, I just added a food text channel to the Discord. Just
great
to reaffirm our commitment to healthy eating here at Rock. Yeah, it bummed me out. And it was like, yeah, that probably did.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing was that he clearly could have been more responsible nutritionally. But last year, he had a broken foot. And so, I mean, he like really couldn't run. Anyway, we're all rooting for Zion. The NBA is so much better when he's dunking in people's faces. In fact, that's maybe the best thing about basketball is dunking in people's faces.
Wow, really going out on a limb there, Sean.
I know. What a hot yeah. thing. Dunks are good, guys.
Sean.
Yeah.
NBA vibes check. That's what we want to do here as the meat of the episode. And by meat, I mean the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Sean, there were three teams you wanted to talk about. We can talk about my three teams next week.
Okay.
But there were three teams you specifically wanted to talk about.
Yeah. And so these are teams that are in a weird vibe space for whatever reason. And I just want to get this over with. I'm going to say the Nets first, Joey.
Sure. They're really good now when Kyrie's not there.
Yeah. And so
their defense is giving up like 90 points or something like
it's
that.
It's really good. They're playing one of our favorite players, Edmund Sumner, at point guard. They're starting him instead. Ben Simmons comes off the bench now. Mm-hmm. And the other guy who comes off the bench. Now, this is some of it is addition by subtraction of Kyrie going to the bench, but also it's addition by addition because Seth Curry is coming off the bench and scoring lots of points. But it does make sense that if you had Kevin Durant, someone who isn't always consistent about his defense, but like, you know, a week ago, he just went and shut down Luka for a quarter. So like he can do it. You kind of don't want that to be his primary job. And so now they've got this team around him where it's like real good defenders, not Ben Simmons is not a real good defender right now. He might come back, you know, whatever. Adjusting. But now it's like, oh, it makes sense that you put him around dudes who play defense and are kind of tall and can make threes. Mm-hmm. So like suddenly Nick Claxton's been unlocked. In this like KD specific. And it just made me think, like, I think they fit together better on the court, but also just the vibes upgrade of not having to be commenting on weird, creepy YouTube documentaries.
Right.
Also has really helped the team emotionally, I think.
I mean, sort of the problem, though, is they have to let Kyrie back at some point. Right when he does his checklist,
he's basically coming back after their road trip.
Yeah,
so they have like six more days, and so, then he's welcome back.
But so then, what happens to these vibes? You know what I mean? Like
they're not going to continue. No. No, I just think it's he is. I don't know if he's the worst vibes player, but he might be now.
Oh, he for sure is.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of somebody worse. And everybody also, I think Kyrie's actual basketball talent has been overrated for a while.
Yeah.
Like he's a very good shot maker and he has a really good handle, but his teams tend to be better without him. And that's a trend that goes back like 6 years now. And it's so weird because from like an and one visual perspective, he's very talented and skilled, but you keep hearing that he's like a top 10 talent. And it's like, he just isn't like it's way worse than that. And he misses lots of time. So anyway, temporary vibes reprieve. Also, I think it helps the vibes that Jacques Vaughn looks like he does now.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen his beard, right?
Yes, Joey? Of course. But here's the thing about Jacques Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a question about Jacques Vaughn, just generally. Sure. Has anyone ever been more of a second choice ever, like throughout his entire career as a coach and a player?
Oh, my God. Well, God, as a player, too. I mean, he was awesome as a college player.
But as an NBA player, it was really like, I mean, I guess Jock Vaughn's our backup. He's not John Stockton. You know what I mean?
Like, right, right, right. And he was also like, you know, even in college, Paul Pierce was on his team. You know, he had Rafe LaFrance on his team, although he was the Big Eight player of the year over both those guys. But yeah, backup to Stockton, backup to Parker, backup to Kidd. Yeah, so
any other Hall of Famers he was backing up, Sean?
He had, well, he was able to start most of the games for the 2003 Orlando Magic.
Great.
So, no, I don't think there was a Hall of Famer beyond Daryl Armstrong, Hall of Fame dunk contest participant.
Hall of Fame grabbing a mic in Dallas while you play for the Dallas Mavericks and saying, how about those Redskins after they beat
pretty good.
Sorry, pretty good. How about that Washington football team? I don't know how do you handle that when it's a quote, Sean?
I don't know. I just try not to mention any of those teams.
I know. I shouldn't have even mentioned it, but it was so funny when Daryl Armstrong did it.
It was so funny when he said it. It's not, you're quoting somebody. This is a historical record. So you're okay with it. And also, it's not his fault. You know what I mean? Like the world was a different place back then, Joey, back in, whenever.
What, like 2007?
2007. Different era. Different era. okay, so anyway, that's the vibes situation. Yeah, Jacques Vaughn has also been an interim Nets choice twice.
So, Sean, do you expect the vibes with the Nets to get better or worse?
Worse.
Yeah.
But you have this glorious road trip will be the happiest Kevin Durant is all year.
All right, Sean. Well, have I told you my prediction?
No. I think
Kevin Durant is getting traded to the Portland Trail Blazers in about 3 weeks.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
Because like something like Shaedon Sharpe and three picks and Jeremy Grant can get
bunch
them
of Modelo, bunch of Modelo,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dame Lillard has a lot of access to Modelo.
All right, Sean, what's your next team you want to talk about vibes-wise?
I want to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have insane vibes right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the worst vibes I've ever seen an NBA team.
And we thought
they
had great vibes going into the season. Uh-huh. Because our theory, your theory more, but I endorse this theory. Sorry, I'm not trying to hang you out to dry. That they were benefiting because Karl Anthony Towns had another tall weirdo to hang out with.
Mm-hmm. But it turns out the problem isn't that Karl Anthony Towns is a tall weirdo. He's just a bad vibes man.
Yeah, he's a bad vibes man. He's had some rough times, but he is a bad vibes man. Okay, I will say the beginning of the start to these bad vibes, besides the obvious one, which is simply adding Rudy Gobert to any NBA roster as a bad vibes move. But when Karl Anthony Towns started making fun of Anthony Edwards' diet at the podium, that is a bad look. So
he it wasn't even making fun of it. He called him out straight up. Like, he's bad, man. Like, he's just a bad leader.
He thinks it's a joke to go out here and talk about eating Popeye's chicken. That's ridiculous. It's like, yeah, man, he turned 21 in August. Why don't you relax a little bit?
Also, he has natural muscles. Like, he doesn't.
Right. Well, he's 21 years old. Like, I guess he should be eating healthier, but it's not like Anthony Edwards is fat. You know what I mean? Like, he's I don't know, man. Like, yes, he could be, probably Popeyes is not a good thing to eat, but it's not like the worst thing to eat for him. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the nutritional thing. So here's two moments where the bad vibes really stood out. Uh-huh. There was a play that they ran where Anthony Edwards literally stood a foot outside the 3-point line and did not take a step for
Left his hands on his hips the entire time.
He left his hands. Yeah. I mean, he did not move. And then finally, the guy guarding him just left to defend the paint. And he finally started jogging down. Now, that's a bad look for Anthony Edwards. Because,
great look for the people who claim quiet quitting is a thing, though.
Yeah, that's true. He's going to work from home the rest of this. And then they had a play that I've literally never seen in the NBA, Joey. I've been watching the NBA for a long time. They actually, Jalen Nowell got an and one. And as you see a lot in the NBA, they subbed out Taurean Prince before he shot the free throw. And D'Angelo Russell just didn't enter the game.
He was standing at the scorer's table. Yeah.
Four on five. They actually missed a shot. The Suns got a rebound before D'Angelo Russell didn't even run on the court until they were taking the second shot. It was also hilarious when, like, this, not all the Suns noticed there were four people at first, but Torrey Craig did, like, right away.
Yeah.
So first they had a wide open three.
That's why they keep bringing him back, dude.
Yeah. So Torrey Craig got the rebound, dribbled out to the three-point line, and was like, how am I going to get open? And then he was like, oh, right, I'm going to throw the ball to Cameron Payne and have him throw it immediately back while this exhausted defender tries to sprint between us.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that before, Joey. That's the worst vibes play of the year. That's like a worse vibes play than the Anthony Edwards play. Previously, the worst it's vibes play of the
but
year.
But it's never going to top the Kevin Love's Love Bad Vibes plays back-to-back years.
Throw the ball and that play on
the one where he just tapped the ball to the opposite team to take it out. Yeah. those are the worst vibes plays ever. NBA Vibes Hall of Fames. Sean, what are the Wolves gonna do?
I don't know. Like, they're locked in. Rudy and Towns have, I mean, I guess the answer is trade D'Angelo Russell for something, and that would improve the vibes, but like,
I don't
really feel like there's an obvious trade out there for him.
Well, no. But also, isn't the actual answer trading Karl Anthony Towns?
I mean, they can't do it yet. But yeah, I mean, that is the answer. That was also the answer before, I think. We all watched the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, what this reminds me of is... when Orlando had that really fun, the team they had before they dumped everybody to get Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady.
Right.
Basically, they traded all the good vibes guys. It also soured the Corey Maggette vibes forever that he was on this team. And like, I mean, he seems perfectly happy. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, like a team that kind of overachieved and then decided to make sort of a crazy blow-up move and lost most of the positives that they had from that other the vibes of that team, even though they still have a lot of guys. Like, it still seems like a team with good reserves. It's just Karl Anthony Towns just seems like kind of a black hole. And also they like just didn't understand what made Rudy Gobert acceptable on offense. And now when he plays, I think they're the best defense in the league. And then when he's out, but they're the worst offense in the league. Yeah. And then I think it's like the reverse. They're not the best offense in the league when he's off, but it's like their defense is absolutely awful without him. Anyway, it's great. It's super it's like every statistic is the most painful result possible.
So are the vibes going to get better or worse, you think, Sean?
I think they're going to get worse before they get better. I think they have to trade D'Angelo Russell. I think it's just a bad vibe situation right now.
What if they traded him for James Wiseman?
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
I was thinking they could trade him for Kyrie Irving. Go all in.
All right, one last team you wanted to talk about, and we got to do it quick because I have to take my dog to the groomer.
Clippers, no
Sean.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Clippers vibes at all other than Kawhi is not playing, which is standard. But Paul George is playing awesome enough to win Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
But they're terrible. Like, they've seemed bad. The Clippers seem really bad. In ways I don't understand.
Right. Well, I think their vibes are actually great, which is weird. Like, they got rolled by the Nets, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like... Now, this is not fair, really. I'm just speculating about this. It really feels like they don't get a ton out of Kawhi Leonard, like, as a teammate. And...
Well, he's barely played.
He's barely played, but also just, like, he doesn't seem like he participates that much, you know? It's just, like, I don't know. And... It's like, and when he plays, it feels like what they do is like run a very Kawhi specific offense where he's drawing fouls or keeping the ball himself. And it's almost like knowing Kawhi's going to be out for a while sort of allows them to have a Paul George team, which makes a little more sense dynamically. And he doesn't really benefit from playing from Kawhi. And like, I feel like they've lost Kawhi Leonard, but they've gained Paul George as a fun player to watch. And I think their offense has been kind of bad, but some of that is just that, like, guys are shooting really badly from three and they probably won't keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Like Terrence Mann is shooting 25%. Reggie Jackson and Reggie Jackson.
They need more from Norm Powell, man.
Yeah, exactly. But I think part of that is that they went into the year thinking that all these guys were going to have more of a supporting role. And now it's like, I don't know, they should just play Terrence Mann more. That's always the answer.
That's always more been Terrence Mann. They have too many of those guys, though. Like, Brandon Boston Jr. is probably awesome, too, but he's never going to play. All right. Vibes going to get better or worse, though, when Kawhi gets here?
Oh, when Kawhi
eventually plays, yeah.
that's worse vibes. But I just think the vibes are going to improve with him out. I really do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's a vibes endorsement. Maybe not necessarily wins, but the vibes on this team are going to be more pleasant, yeah.
All right, that's our episode. Sean.
Yes.
Did you write a song? Sean, did you plug it? Do you want to plug anything?
Yeah. Yard Workers NBA coverage, Golden State of Mind. Golden State of Mind, Giants Baseball Insider, and then at Sean Keane on Twitter. You can see me in Marin County on the 29th. I will be at the Throckmorton Theater, the beautiful reopened Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley. So check that out if you're in the North Bay. I'll also be in downtown Santa Cruz on Thursday the 17th.
And then you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where I just retweeted a tweet that's a video of me and Chris Angel and Lolo Jones. Hashtagged Magic with the Stars at the CW at Magic with the Stars. I guess the CW has a show where stars do magic with Chris Angel.
Oh boy.
Gonna have to start watching that. trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. It's never a good sign if you're if the left's Koch brother also is in a crazy polyamorous house in the Bahamas. That's not a good sign.
Never good. We'll be right back.
coaches like he do. He's never getting out of round two. He needs a lozenge, always sounds stressed. Got fired cause he wouldn't bench Montrezl. I wanna know how he'll use and beat Joel that loves to play. Take me to Doc Rivers. Drop me in the playoffs. Take me to Doc Rivers. Drop me in the playoffs. In the first round. In the first round. I don't know why Obama gave the axe, but Philly won't pay the luxury tax. They got four forwards and no point guards. They need Chris Paul to come and punch some nuts. I wanna know about the 3-1 leads. Jeff Green's coming to play. Take me to the Rivers. Drop me in the playoffs. Got to take me to Doc Rivers. Drop me in the playoffs. In the first round. In the first round. Loved in Austin. Can't stand Austin. But he can't He can't close the series, he can't close it out. Drop me in the playoffs. Oh, you got to take me to Doc Rivers. Oh, drop me in the playoffs. In the first round. In the first round. Ladies and gentlemen, taking this solo, owner Josh Harris. Gonna do. Not sure Tobias believes Ubuntu. Won't lose free agents no matter where they roam. He'll barricade Ben Simmons in his home. I wanna know, did Mike Scott date Kelly? Shaq Milton's going away. Take me to Doc Rivers. Oh, come on, you got to drop me in the playoffs. Oh, got to take me to Doc Rivers. You know the Clips were having layoffs in the first round. In the first round. You know what? You know who else wore a really big suit? Brian Colangelo. I mean, a perfectly normal suit. With a normal collar. Hey, do you think Doc will make the conference finals? Round two. Round two.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.